Yeah, so again, I'm sorry to be on. Can we have to, this will not be on the test, so don't worry about it. Maybe we'll just wait another minute or two.
Not doing the Kedusha.
Very nice. Very good.
Just as a response to other things which are being put out, so he also puts it in.
This is yours. This is that yours?
Yeah, we can have it.
Okay. Okay, so what we're going to just talk about today is one session, although there's a lot that could be said. It's just some issues about Zionism. Remember that the whole series of shiurim and talks that we were giving is about various movements in Hashkafa that arose mainly in the 19th century and then carried over and even exist today. We talked about the yeshiva movement, we talked about Musar. Very briefly, we touched the Cholapachas of Torim Derech Eretz and the movements from Torim Derech Eretz to Yeshiva and from Yeshiva to Torim Derech Eretz with the Sweet AH and the like. We talked about the negative movements, the Haskalah and the Reform movements. Unfortunately, this time we didn't talk too much about Hasidus, but there'll be another occasion, at least for a different group, but okay. But I want to talk a little bit about the notion of Zionism. So let me go back, first of all, to two things. We have to go back, number one, to a fundamental Machlokes Rishonim, which is Nogea last week's Parsha, Machlokes the Rambam and the Ramban regarding Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs lists the 613 mitzvahs, but the Ramban has a Hasaga, has Hasagos on the Rambam, what he considered the Rambam to have left out. And one of the mitzvahs that he claims that the Rambam was mashmit from the minyan of Chayag is the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, based on the pasuk v'yirishtem osa v'yishavtem ba. And the Ramban says this is not only a mitzvah to the Dor HaMidbor, to the Kodesh Eretz Yisrael, but this is a mitzvah l'dairis. The Ramban says b'feirish, it is a chiyuv. The Ramban says b'feirish, it even applies if there's no melech and there's no mikdash. Rav Moshe has a tshuva that even like the Ramban, it is only a mitzvah kiyumis and not a mitzvah chiyuvis. But this is, again, offer anachnu tachas kapos raglov, but it's absolutely very, very, very sure. The Ramban, really, not kimat, the Ramban does say b'feirish. It is a chiyuv hagam that there are heterim of domo terev elisa isha. In other words, it's not a chiyuv begamri, but unless you have a heter, there's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Now, what's significantly important vis-a-vis Zionism is that when the Rambam defines the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the Rambam says there are four pratim, four subdivisions of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Subdivision number one, which is Noyeg even Bizman Hazeh, is there's a mitzvah min ha-Torah that all land that is within the Torah's boundaries of Eretz Yisrael be conquered by the Jewish people and be placed under Jewish sovereignty. Which means, according to the Ramban, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is not only a mitzvah where you live, but the Ramban actually says it is a mitzvah to be kovesh the land and bring it under Malchus Yisrael. That's component number one. We'll come back to that. Component number two, the Ramban says, is that even after we conquer the land, it should not be Shemama. It should not be desolate or empty, but we should settle people there, or agriculture, or industry, make something good from it. Component number three, which is fascinating, it's Mamash and Nevuah, is that even if you have a heter to live outside of Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to believe that any other country can be the homeland of the Jewish people. Now, you read that at first, like, what is, I mean, who would have a Havamina? But the MS is, we know that Theodore Herzl at one point was willing to consider Uganda as a potential Jewish state. The Ramban is saying that's forbidden. That I may live in New York, I may live in Baltimore, but the home of the Jewish people has to be Eretz Yisrael. And it's only the fourth component that everybody thinks is the whole mitzvah of each of Eretz Yisrael, but it's only the fourth chelek where the Ramban says, unless I have a heter, I'm mechuyev to live here. But before you even get to that, you have the notion of kibush, and you have the notion of beautifying it and settling it, and the psychological identification, and then there's a chiyuv to live here. The only question people ask is, why did the Ramban not live in Eretz Yisrael for most of his life? The Ramban, for most of his life, was in Spain, and Catholic Spain, unlike the Ramban who lived in Islamic Egypt. The Rambam was born in Spain when it was under Islamic rule. He migrated, he spent a little bit of time in Eretz Yisrael, the Rambam, but he spent the bulk of his life in Mitzrayim. Ramban was in Spain. And you know the story, that the Ramban had a public disputation with a Meshumet about Judaism versus Christianity. And they used to be a public debate, so people would vote at the end. The Goyim would vote who was the winner of the debate. The Ramban gave us a transcript of the debate at Barcelona. The good news and the bad news. The good news was the Ramban was adjudicated to be the superior debater. The bad news was, since he discredited the Catholic Church, his punishment was gullus, exile. The good news is that got him to Eretz Yisrael. And that's where he wrote his Peirush al HaTorah. And in fact, it's very interesting. The Ramban even was machriya based on archaeology. Very, very fascinating. At the end of the Peirush al HaTorah, he brings a ha'ara that there's a machlekes Rashi in Taisus, in Bechiris, what is the weight of a machzus ha-shekel of the Torah? And it's a machlekes Rashi in Taisus. They're trying to prove it by various rayas from the Gemara. So the Ramban writes, I bought a machzus ha-shekel coin from an Arab, dating back to the Bayis Sheni, and I carefully was Sheikel and Maina, and that was Machriya that Rashi was correct. He says he was Machriya like Rashi based on the coin that he bought from the Arab. But the big question is, if the Ramban Lishitase holds that Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is one of the Taryag Mitzvahs, how could it be that he didn't go until he was forced to go? So we don't know for sure, but there are two standard terutzim, Shebedavar. Yeah.
So all these four halakim are independent of each other?
Well, Klal Yisrael is mechuyev in all four.
These fine, but what's the whole shaila then? Huh? The Ramban's an individual, and Klal Yisrael is all over. So what's he supposed to do? Fight a one-man?
No. So he's mechuyev in the fourth one. In other words, whatever one he gets.
So they're right. All chiyuvim independent.
That's correct. Some of them are the chiyuvim of the Klal, and some of them are the chiyuvim of the Yochid. Yeah, it's the fourth one that's a chiyuv of the Yochid. So the two terutzim shebedavar they give is that Bizman of the Ramban, the Etzem trip to Eretz Yisrael was mamish b'sakana, the sakana of pirates, of ganovim, of reitzchim, of wild animals, etc. And the mele pikuach nefesh patishim. Now people sometimes use that as an argument today, which is not really matim, because the trip is not dangerous, and living here is not more dangerous than anywhere else, and actually less dangerous. But in the Ramban's time, there really was the union of sakana. The other possibility is that because the Ramban was Rabban shel kol b'nei ha'gaila, in a very literal way, when you didn't have email, and you didn't have faxes, and you didn't have other things like that, so Klal Yisrael needed him. So he had an achrayas to stay where people could reach him, so to speak, and Eretz Yisrael was not a place where people could connect. All right, be it as it may.
Rambam. Doesn't the Rambam say it's better to live in Eretz Yisrael if you're sitting where you're going?
Yes, that's what the Rambam says, yeah.
So how does he not consider like a mitzvah?
So here's the thing. Now, the question is, what is the pshat in the Rambam? The Rambam does not count it as a mitzvah. But it's hard to know from a negative, right? In other words, if the Rambam would tell me something, I would know. Now, you're 100% correct. The Rambam writes, he quotes all the Mamari Chazal in Maseches Ksuvos about the beauty of living in Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha of living in Eretz Yisrael, better to live in Eretz Yisrael in a city that's mainly over the Avodah Zarah, than in the city of Tyrell. The Emma says nobody would pass him like that Rambam today. If you go up to your Rav and you're in Lakewood and you say, I have a choice, I can live in Lakewood or Ramallah, you know, where should I live? The Rambam says better. You're not going to be sent there, that's for sure, but the Rambam says it. Nevertheless, so what's the pshat? It's not a mitzvah. So there are two mahalachim. The standard mahalach in the Rambam is the mahalach of the Sefer Megillas Esther, not to be confused with the biblical book, the Perush on Sefer HaMitzvahs. It was in memory of the Mechaber's mother, so it's called Megillas Esther. And he Taka learns, and this is what the Nesiva says, the Eilam is Seimechan in Chutz Loretz. He Taka learns, there is no chiyuv of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It's a good thing, it's a gebaldige thing, it's a wonderful thing, it's a spiritual thing. But it does not, it's not nichnas begeder chiyuv. And if it's not nichnas begeder chiyuv, a person can have other shikulim that it's hard for me to go, whatever it would be. Now this is the standard understanding of the Rambam, and the Nesivos in a letter written like 300 years ago said that the kehilos that remain in the Gaila are Samech on the Rambam, and they follow this mahalach. I do want to point out, there is a mahalach within the Dati Leumi community. They have a makor in some mafarshim. It's not a mainstream pshat that say avada the Rambam is maida, it's a mitzvah. Ah, if the Rambam is maida, it's a mitzvah, why is he not maina it in the tayag mitzvahs? Because the Rambam lays down a klal in the Sefer HaMitzvahs that we never count as a mitzvah a tzivoy to keep the Torah kula. For example, the Torah says in many places, keep my mitzvahs. Ushmartem es mitzvaysai. So why don't I have a mitzvah called Shemira Satayra? The Rambam says, because that's not adding anything. That's simply telling you to keep everything else. So, since it's ungenommen, there's a chazal that Rashi brings and the Ramban brings. It's from the Sifri, but the Rambam was aware of this chazal. That the only reason we keep mitzvahs in Chutz La'aretz is to remember what to do when we come back. Now, what mitzvahs are that talking about? That's not talking about mitzvahs Taliyas B'aretz, because those we don't keep in Chutz La'aretz. That's talking about Shabbos, Kashrus, Tefillin. That even though we're mechuyev to keep them, but their intrinsic spiritual power is only here. And in Chutz La'aretz, the tzivui of Hashem is based on hatzivi l'cha tziyonim. Tziyonim. Markers. So Mimela, Zakhidati Liyumi community, it's a very ingenious Hesper. The Rambam doesn't count Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, because telling you to live in Eretz Yisrael basically means keep the Torah. Eivazai, according to that cheshbon, it's not Nimna, right? So they actually want to learn that the Rambam is not Maina because it's such an important mitzvah that essentially it's a mitzvah being Mekayim Kol HaTerukula.
Wouldn't that still be independent of some?
Well, they want to say it's just like the Rambam says in Klal Dalet, Sherish Dalet of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, right? He's marked him with Shurashim. That you're not maina a mitzvah to keep the Torah. Now, the emes is you do have a aura, because that cheshbon would be true for the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, but the mitzvah of kibush Eretz Yisrael, that could be a separate mitzvah, because that has nothing to do with my level of mitzvah observance. Okay, it's a good aura, but the standard understanding is Megillas Esther, and Megillas Esther brings a very important raya. He brings a raya, which is the yisoid of the Turei Karta Hashkafa, but he uses it not as vite as the Turei Karta. I mentioned this very quickly, most of you probably know. This is the Gemara in Ksuvas by Shir HaShirim, Kuf Yud Aleph. There is a refrain in Shir HaShirim, Hishpati Eschem B'nais Yerushalayim, right? Klal Yisrael, as the princess, as the woman, says, I am Mashbia you. I make the daughters of Yerushalayim, whoever they are, swear, Im ta'iru v'im ta'iriru esa'ava ad shetechpatz. Do not stir up, do not awaken the love of Hashem until that love desires to come of its own accord. That pasuk is repeated three times. It's a pella. What does the pasuk even mean? The Gemara says, Maseches Ksuvas, that at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu imposed three Shavuos on Am Yisrael. Now that doesn't mean there was any historical event where we as human beings actually took an oath. This is a Shavua Baruchnius. Hashem imposed these Chiyuvim on us. Shavua number one is Lo Yalu B'chayma. We will not climb the wall. Rashi says we will not try to get Eretz Yisrael by milchama and by kibush. That's what it says. So the Megillas Esther stops right there. The Megillas Esther's argument is, how can the Ramban say that Yishev Eretz Yisrael is mechayev kibush if bedavka there's a shavua that we're not allowed to be kibush? Now, you theoretically could say, okay, even if we don't have a mitzvah to be kibush, we have a mitzvah to live there, but that's not what the Ramban says. If the Ramban defines Yishev as all of these four chalakim, and it's a davar boror that one aspect of that could not be a mitzvah because we made a shvua fakert and a shvua levato as a mitzvah wouldn't be valid. So the Megillas Esther is machiach that none of those components are a chelik of Yishev. Now, Neturei Karta uses that Gemara to go one step further. Not only is there no mitzvah of kibush, but the shvua says it's usur to be kibush. I'll get to that. But that's what the Gemara says, but the Megillas Esther is not using it to establish an Isser. The Megillas Esther is using that Gemara to prove that there couldn't be a mitzvah. He doesn't address the Isser, and I'll talk about whether there is or there isn't. Now, the second Shvua is Lo Yimridu V'yumais, that the Jewish people will not rebel against their host countries. We will be good citizens, a getter of Dina de Malchus of Dina. Of course, given the fact that Jews were very involved in the Communist Revolution, the American Revolution, we haven't always lived up to that. But Lo Yimridu B'umais. And the third, which is also a bit perplexing, is Lo Yitzchuku Esakeitz, that we shouldn't try to push for the coming of Mashiach by putting Kavyachol pressure on the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, what does that mean exactly? Is that a condemnation of we want Mashiach now type of thing? It's a davar boror, of course, that Klal Yisrael is supposed to pray for the Geula. It's a davar boror, we're supposed to be mitzapeh for the Geula. And it's a davar boror that through Torah and mitzvahs, we have the right and the obligation to be makarev the Geula. So what Chazal are talking about is something that's not very clear to us, but apparently, al pi Kabbalah, al pi Derech HaNister, there are ways, again, it's very hard for us to even understand the concept, in which we could kind of force the coming of the Geula before the Welt and before ourselves have a spiritual tikkun. And apparently that would be like, you know, an atomic bomb. That would be like a tragic event for a Geula to come before the requisite tikkun of the Welt has taken place. And that was a Shavua that we're not going to try to bring the case in that particular way, but only through the inyanim of Torah and mitzvahs and Aveda, where we make the door roy l'chach, that Geula could come. So the Megillas Esther uses that Gemara in Kesuvos to be mochiach, that there's no mitzvah. Now, Derech Agav, I'll get to this again, Neturei Karta, of course, had and has a shita, that based on that very Gemara, there's an Isser. Well, not the Raisa, but the call was an Isser based on this Shavua to be Mekim a Medina until Bias HaGoyel. It's a Shavua, it's a Gezerah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, it's important to understand that this was not only Neturei Karta, this was the Shita, I mean, this is the Shita of the Eidah Haredes, although they don't,
they weren't the Neturei Karta.
Yeah, they were, but they're not, no, basically they're Neturei Karta without the without causing trouble. Eidah Haredes are passive resistance as opposed to the Ricardo, that's active resistance. But this was the Shita I mentioned, the end of last class of Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch. This was the Shita of Chabad, the Rebbe Rashab. This was certainly the Shita of Rav Dushinsky, Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, perhaps the Briskerov and Rav Chaim, although we'll see that they tended to put their Ismagdus on other reasons. They didn't mention that Gemara that much. And yet we know that by and large, although there are many, many exceptions who still go with that Shita, by and large the Olam HaTorah although we have kindness that the Medina is chiboni and this and that, but by and large, people are sitting in the Knesset, Aguda, Degelat Torah, Shas. By and large, people work with the Medina. I mean, there are religious soldiers in the army, even from Haredim, Nachal Haredim. Question is, how do they deal with that Gemara? Good. The Gemara can, because the Gemara doesn't only say there's no mitzvah. The Gemara says there's a shvuah. So how do we fend for it? So once again, there are different mahalchim for people who don't fall into Rikartas Hashgatha. Yeah.
Why is it considered so poshish that because it's Tzitzel Yalu V'chaimi, you're not allowed to make a Medina?
Well, okay. So, let me go over. This is what I want to say. That well, Yalu B'chaima means you will not. So it's actually, it has two different interpretations. One interpretation that's given, which is not what Rashi says, is that you're not allowed to have a mass immigration to Eretz Yisrael. People go from up at Yechidim, but you don't create a situation where this is a center for world Jewry to come. Based on that, there would be a problem. But
I mean, wouldn't people say it was Sakhanos and Fashis when they did that?
Let me give out the information, and then you'll see. I think some of this is going to be answered. You know, after World War One, you know, for 500 years, Palestine, as it was called, was under the Ottoman Empire. It was ruled by Turkey. In fact, a lot of the tzura of Israel as a country is still connected to the Ottoman Empire and the like. In fact, it's interesting. You know, Tzaldas Aaron and other people who are very, very firm, they use what is called Shoin Eretz Yisrael. You ever hear that? You'll notice that there's European time, which is the regular clock that we have, and then there's the Shoin Eretz Yisrael, the Shoin of Eretz Yisrael, which 12 o'clock, meaning the start of the day, is Shkia, which follows Halacha, actually. In other words, so when it's 8 o'clock at night, if Shkia is at 6, so every night at 6, the clock is set to 12, which is 0, and 8 o'clock will be 2 o'clock. 8 p.m. will be, right? That's called Shoin Eretz Yisrael.
They don't do it because they're following Halacha.
No, that's what I'm telling you. So what is called... No. But among some very, very firm people, like you go to Bate Ungarin, some of the shuls only have the Shoin Eretz Yisrael. They do not have Shoin Eropi, because they say that is reform, and that's a European reform, that's a secular reform, that's the maskilin. We want to do Shoin Eretz Yisrael. But Shoin Eretz Yisrael has nothing to do with Halacha. Shoin Eretz Yisrael was the Islamic, was the way time was in the Ottoman Empire. It was Ottoman time. Ottoman clocks were based on that. So it's no more Jewish. It happens to follow Halacha, but the reason why it became Nishtarish as the Minog in Eretz Yisrael was nothing to do with Halacha. It was just to do with Ottoman Empire.
Yerushalmi Levush also, no?
Yerushalmi Levush is also connected to Ottoman Empire and the like. So for 500 years, Eretz Yisrael was under the Ottoman Empire. After World War One, as you know, it became a British mandate. And in 1918, there was a declaration from the British Foreign Office called the Balfour Declaration, which says, His Majesty's government regards with favor, the establishment of a Jewish homeland. So it is said the Chafetz Chaim was still alive then. And when the Chafetz Chaim heard of the Balfour Declaration, the Chafetz Chaim's lashon was, Hutar HaShavua. He said, the Shavua was not to be mired against the Umayyads, not to try to conquer Eretz Yisrael and establish a Medina without the Rishus of the Shilton. But a Medina that is established with the Rishus of the Shilton, whether it be the British government or whether it be the United Nations vote, many, many Gedolim said, but Chafetz Chaim was not alive then, but they say it was Bahaskana Sa'umas. So good.
The League of Nations.
In other words, we're not on the Madrega where we have the kayak or the right to be Mayret and establish a Medina. But if the Umas Ha'ilam give us Rishus, it's not a violation of the Shvuah. And if we have to fight wars afterwards, that is defensive war. That's to defend ourselves from that. So that is why, putting aside the issue of Hischabris with Rishon, I'll talk about that in Nekuda, but the Etzem Musig of Hakamas HaMedina, Kama V'Kama Gedolim said, maybe it's not a mitzvah, Ein Achinami, it's still not a mitzvah, not a chiyuv, but it's not a violation of a Shavua, because the ability, the rishus to establish a Jewish state was b'haskamas u'umais. That is one mahalach is given. Another mahalach is said in the name of a letter, it's not in the Sfarim, unfortunately, of Rav Meir Simcha, Meshech Chachma, where he tanyas, if you look at the Gemara in Ksuvas, you will see that the Gemara goes viper and says, kishem that he was mashbia klal Yisrael with three shavuos, he was mashbia the umas ha'elam with a fourth shavua, shelo yishabdu Yisrael yoser midai. There's a package deal here. We agree not to rock the boat, we agree not to make wars, we agree not to conquer, we agree not to be mayreg the umas, in exchange for peace, security, protection. Now we know in a package deal, even with Shavuos, when the Shavuos are toloi, ha baha, the other side does not keep its side, that potters me. So the Meshech Chachma said, this is before the Holocaust, whether it's the Crusades, the pogroms, the Yetzim, all of the Yisurin that Klal Yisrael has gone through, the Umos Ha'olam Vaday did not live up to their obligation. So we don't have an obligation. Now, the Megillah Esther's Raya Keneged the Ramban is still a good Raya, that there's no mitzvah to have a state, but the Iser Shevet Gavur, many poskim said, is not a problem. Yeah.
All of these tradition are still gebaiten the idea that Yilayal B'chayma is saying that you're not allowed to be making a Medina?
Well, the way you establish, well, as they say, let's take the United States. How did the United States establish itself as an independent country? They rebelled, right? They made a revolution. They rebelled against Britain, right? So
technically speaking, they said so, and then they were attacked. But okay.
No, when they proclaimed their independence, that was an act of treason. If they would be caught as the Yechidim that issued the Declaration of Independence, if they would be caught as Yechidim, they would have been hung. In fact, there were some, because they were traitors to their government. This was not like a war between France and Germany, or whatever it is. This was a rebellion. I mean, even in the United States now, if the state of Connecticut were to declare independence, now probably, I don't think they would hang them, but theoretically, it is treason. So that's forbidden. So a merida is forbidden. The Chafetz Chaim's point was that the Balfour Declaration made it ois merida. It's not merida. So establishing a state without merida is going to be much, right? Now, again, the Turi Karta has a lot of terusim for this. The Satmar Rebbe wrote a very brilliant sefer, and it's a brilliant title, because he took Allah Geula v'Allah Tzmura. Now, this is a lesson taken from Rus, but Geula and Tzmura, redemption and Tzmura, the fake substitute for redemption. It's just, and he wrote another kundris on Shalosh Shavuos, and, you know, it's, again, Satmar Rebbe was an emissary gadol the Torah, and you know, he goes through different rayas and different points. So now this doesn't establish everything. For example, the Brisker Rav, of course, was already in Eretz Yisrael in 1948. He escaped from Europe. He was in the Warsaw Ghetto for a while, but Baruch Hashem, b'derech nes, he came to Eretz Yisrael, although he had lost both his wife and some of his children. Very, very tzibrachim.
Came straight to Eretz Yisrael?
Yeah.
You go to
Schweiz
on the way?
Well, maybe on the way, because he has car up there, and he spent a lot of time in Switzerland. But basically, I think he was not living in Switzerland. He went straight to Eretz Yisrael. He was debating America. I mean, it's amazing. He was debating America or Eretz Yisrael. He decided America was not the place for him. He wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. That was a good decision. I imagine Brisk Rav would get the highest year in YU. That would have been interesting. But okay. But the thing was that the Brisk Rav had a very different cheshbon, and in a way it's a very simple cheshbon. He says he didn't talk about the Shalosh Shavuos because he knew there were terutzim to that. It's not a merida. It's defensive war. He simply said the following: if it is true, which again is connected to Ramban, that there's no mitzvah to establish a Jewish state, he said, "Mimela, it's going to be usher because of pikuach nefesh." His taina was, that the establishment of a Jewish state is going to create wars. It's going to create attacks on Jews. He says, "B'sach hakol, many Jews are going to die who would not have died had there not been a state." So his cheshbon is that he's not going to die on the Shalosh Shavuos. Right? He didn't go there at all. He said he doesn't see a heter for Hakamas Medina if it'll be Garim Pikuach Nefesh. If the pshat would be a mitzvah, like any Milchemes mitzvah, the Mitzvah Chinuch already says, for Milchemes mitzvah, there's no such thing as Pikuach Nefesh. What are you going to say? I'm pater for Milchemes mitzvah because war is dangerous. When the Teres Mitzvah war, Behechlich, Pikuach Nefesh doesn't apply. But once it's not a mitzvah, he held those Mitzvah issue of Pikuach Nefesh. Yeah.
I don't mean via Mechotah.
Yeah.
Rizkarov decided to shots up the situation and decide that more Yidden would die this way than that way?
Yeah, well. Okay, you know, well, again, you know, it is a speculation, and it's a very fascinating speculation, Ada Yemazeh. And that is, many people do say, commonly a Zionist argument, and I don't mean that pejorative, a Zionist argument would be that the state of Israel, by providing a homeland for Jews, saved many, many Jews from death and hostilities of the Goyim, etc. This is a common thought that is expressed. But, you know, im kabbalah mekabel, im ledin yesh tshuva, meaning the question you have to ask yourself is, has the state of Israel resulted in a net saving of life or not? There's no real way. So Mimela, the Vizgrav said, the Shevi Altasset, Mimela, he says, if you're making a decision that potentially may result in a lot of Shvichus Damim, he held Shevi Altasset.
Now, what was his heter to come there to solve? He's putting himself in a massive sakana.
Well, here is the Mudnazach. You know, the Gra, in fact, Paskins Beferis like the Ramban, Yishev Eretz Yisrael, but apparently, and this I haven't seen a mucker here, there are kama v'kama shitos that do talk about Yishuv Eretz Yisrael as a chiyuv on an individual, but they don't apply the first part of the Ramban, that there's a mitzvah of stated. Now, Lanias Eki, it's very shver, because the mocker of the mitzvah of Yishuv is the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvot, and the Ramban seems to link the statehood aspect and the individual Yishuv aspect, and yet, if you look in the Gra, look in other Svarim, they seem to only emphasize that, which the Bishgur of Hell,
Meaning the
first
part.
Huh?
Meaning the
first
says Yerishta Mishaftim.
So they're Mechala. The question is, what's the Mukher exactly? I don't know what the Mukher is, but to split it. The Ramban doesn't. See, the problem is the Ramban doesn't split it.
How do you know the Vilna Gaon does split it? He sends the meaning to establish a state of it.
Yes, you don't have a right. Well, okay. Yeah, so let me just mention something about the Gra. These are all pre-the Zionist movement, so to speak. The Gra himself wanted to come to Eretz Yisrael. The Gra left Vilna to come to Eretz Yisrael. He wrote the famous Igeres HaGra to say goodbye to his family and the like. But he turned back, and it's very mysterious, Ada Yemazeh, why he turned back. Some say that he had wanted to bring the Mashiach, because there's a whole thing on it. On his way to Eretz Yisrael, he stopped off in Amsterdam, which is not on the way. And they say he wanted to find Kesavim of the Ramchal, which he would bring to Eretz Yisrael and bring the Geula. And he saw the door was not ready, so he didn't go. Very mysterious. He never gave a reason why he came back. Some give technical reasons, that he felt that it would be impossible to be Zoyer in Mitzvahs Tlias Biaretz, although I'm sure he would have found a way. I mean, there were people who were Zoyer. The Talmidei HaGra say that the Gra was a Gilgul of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Memela, it was Nichlal in the Gezerah on Moshe Rabbeinu, that he couldn't come to Eretz Yisrael. And the Talmidim had different gematrias, that some of them were Gilgulim of Yeshua ben Nun, that they would be Nichlal. But as you know, the Talmidei HaGra did establish each of Eretz Yisrael, particularly in Yerushalayim, the minhagim of what is called the Yishuv Hayashan, the old Yishuv, is the Gra. I mean, even little things like why we don't say B'Shamru is the minhag HaGra. Why Ashkenazim Duchen every day, although it should only be minhag of Sfardim, is because the Gra wanted to do. Actually, it wasn't an actual minhag HaGra because the Gra wasn't able to do it, but it's what he wanted to do. So they figured, oh, we'll be like Sfardim for this one. So really it's a minhag HaGra and the like. So one of the Gra's great Talmidim, who was Miyasid of a Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, was Rav Hillel of Shklov. And Rav Hillel of Shklov, whose brother was Rav Menachem Mendel of Shklov, who was the Magia of the Gra Mishlei and many other Svarim, Rav Hillel of Shklov, in fact Rav Yisrael of Shklov wrote the Pasa Shochan. So Shklov was a Latterly Gras Talmid who came to Yisrael come from Shklov. He wrote a little sefer called Kail HaTor. Tor means with a tuff. That's turtle dove. From Shir HaShir and Kol HaTor, the Medrash says it's the voice of Mashiach. And the Kol HaTor is a little sefer, but it's very, very difficult. It's largely in the Lashon of Kabbalah, but it's about the idea of how coming to Eretz Yisrael is Makariv the Geula. That instead of saying Mashiach will bring us back, it is the teshuka that we have to come to Eretz Yisrael that brings the Geula. And the Gra developed a very radical idea. We know there's Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. And Chazal say Mashiach ben Yosef is going to be killed in the war of Gog Magog before there's Mashiach ben David. The Gra says that is only one way that could happen, but it doesn't have to be that way. And he says Mashiach ben Yosef represents the Geula Begashmias. Just as Yosef took care of Klal Yisrael in the Mitzrayim, etc. So Mashiach ben Yosef means before Mashiach ben David comes, that is the Geula Beruchnias, we need to create infrastructure. Cities, farms, factories. This is the Kol HaTorah. And that is the Bechina, the physical building up of the land, is a kiyum of Mashiach ben Yosef, which will not require Hariga in the war of Gog and Magog. And that is the Tanai Kaidem to Mashiach ben David. Now this Sefer was not printed for over 100 years after the Gra was Nifter, but people made manuscripts, and it was passed around in a number of Batei Midrashim. And it is, in many ways, what you would call a pre-Zionist work. Because the Gra, who of course talked about Ruchnius and Torah and learning in that as well, the Gra was not supporting a secular state. But the Gra did emphasize an intrinsic chashivas in the physical building of the land. That was not a kleinikait. That was a chelek of the Geula, because that is the Mashiach ben Yosef, which is a tanai to the Mashiach ben David. Because of this, when it finally got printed, it became more meforsam. There were kama v'kama people who said it was a ziyaf, it was a forgery, it was not from a pillar of shlav, and certainly it was not b'shem the Gra, because everything is said to be in the shame of the Gra. It was written by maskilim or Zionists who wanted to legitimate their hashkafa by being Taila be'ilim gadol. But Rav Chaim Friedlander, who was not a Zionist, Rav Chaim Friedlander was Mashgiach Panovich, was Dairish V'chaiker, and he was machlit that it is reliable. It represents the Shitas Hagra on these inyanim. I think, I don't want to say, I think Rav Moshe Sternberg held it was a ziyaf though. You know, so you're going to get into that, into those issues. But Rav Chaim Friedlander, I think on this I believe him a little more. Huh? Yeah, because Chaim Friedlander has more, has gone through Kisvayat. He's, you know, just historically, he's gone through the process of verifying with Ramchal these types of things. There's another part of it which is not negat to our Inyan, which also people say must be a forgery. This is where the Gra says the famous statement that any person who lacks the idea in Chachma, secular studies, so for every measure you don't know in secular studies, you're chaser in Torah 10 measures. So they didn't like that either. So I don't know, that's a forgery. That's a haskalah thought. But the Chaim Friedlander said, as I zuck the guy, all right, whatever, the guy said that as well. Now, one thing you have to be careful. This Kail HaTor had a big, big hashpah in Lita. Lita Bichlau, the guy was Rabban Shel Kol B'nei HaGaila in all of Klal Yisrael, but in Lithuania in particular, the guy was it. I mean, you weren't even allowed to be chaylik. If somebody wrote a ha'ara on a Mishnah and it was just not what the guy said, you know, only, you were kamat put in chayim, you were kamat tarred and feathered just to say another pshat. So this was a very, very popular sefer. It had a big hashpah in Volozhin, and indeed on the Nitziv himself. The Nitziv was involved in early Zionist activity, Chayiv Etzion, and it really came from this hashkafa. Now, one thing is interesting. The Gaon did not specifically talk about statehood. And it's not entirely borer when he talks about the physical building of the land. is he referring just to the physical building? Factories, farms, cities, houses, bringing Jews here, for sure. That he says for sure. Sovereignty? We don't know. But it's a reasonable extrapolation that he considered all of these inyanim to be chashuv and nogeya, especially since he is machriya like the Ramban lahalacha, and he doesn't say, he limits the Ramban to only the living there and not that. That is why the Talmidei HaGra were very, very involved in the physical building of the land. You know, whether it's Nachla Shiva, Me'ah Sharim, many parts of Yerushalayim, they didn't just establish Kailalim. They were, they mixed the cement, they put the bricks. Part of it might be because they wanted everything to be Al Tiras HaKadosh. That's one reason. And the second reason is that they held that this is how they bring the Geula. This is the Kiyam of Mashiach ben Yosef that brings the Geula and paves the way to Mashiach ben David. So it is fair to say that the guy, in a sense, we'll call him a proto-Zionist, that he considered the union of Binyan Ha'aretz Mitzad Atzmai to be very, very chashuv. And this had a big hashpa in turn of the movement that became known as the Chayva Beit Zion. Yeah.
They not hold
the
ship because it had to be a person. Then
they held
with more conceptual.
The Gra is mashma that if enough of Klal Yisrael is mishtadif and binyan aris, Mashiach ben Yosef becomes Klal Yisrael. It's a very, very radical doctrine, because among the reform movements, they sometimes speak, even left wing orthodoxy, they sometimes speak, well, even Mashiach doesn't have to be a person. It's Messianic age, Messianic era, and we normally consider that kafira, right? Because one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim is a personal Mashiach. On the other hand, the Gra seems to say that Mashiach ben Yosef is not an Ikar Emunah. Mashiach ben David is an Ikar Emunah. Mashiach ben Yosef is an idea, and it can be understood and it can be manifest in different Eifanim. Again, all of this is Kol HaTor.
That would have to fall apart.
Huh?
Then
it wouldn't have to be, he absolutely, that he says beferish. In other words, it's a little ambiguous if there'll have to be a person called Mashiach ben Yosef. But what he says beferish, the Gra says beferish, that the statement that Mashiach ben Yosef will be Narag is Lav Dafka.
I'm saying with the statement, whatever the implies of Kol Dafka at that time, place of Mashiach ben Yosef have to fall apart.
No, not that. He said we bypass the whole process. Yeah.
Is it some of this then that the Talmidei HaGra or their descendants?
Yep.
Are more opposed to the state of that it's secular than it is a halakha.
Right. So here is the thing. So unlike the Nitzuri Karta that grounded opposition to the state on the Shalosh Shavuos, and even unlike the Brisker Rav, who held that a state was Asra al Pisakana, and by the way, there's a big nafkamina there. The Neturei Karta Cheshbon would be, let's dismantle the state now. Brisk would not say that, because now Hakol Meidim, if you dismantle the state, when you have 7 million Jews here, it's going to be more dangerous, right? So there'd be an nafkamina, Achara Maisa, Kaidim Maisa. But the Talmidei HaGra, but the common denominator between Brisk and Neturei Karta is both say there'd be no nafkamina if it's a firm state or not a firm state. Right? They're against the state. Masha Einken, according to the Gra, at least it's Yitachin, you don't have 100% Raya, that a Jewish state is inherently a good thing. It's part of the Talich of Geula. But we have problems, chiloni, secular, which is yet another issue of Hischabris to Rishayim, who's Rishayim, etc. Okay, so that would be the basis of the Hisnagdus, if there even is Hisnagdus. By the way, as you know, the president of Israel is a descendant of the Talmidei HaGra. He's not, unfortunately, he's not totally religious, but Reuven Rivlin. Rivlin is Talmidei HaGra. He's a Ben Achar Ben to the Rivlin, to her Miyasid Shechunais in Yerushalayim. And he still has, it's interesting, he has the typical Israeli idea that he made a statement that when he was ambassador, he was in the United States and he went to a reform bar mitzvah or something, and he says, I mean, this is not Judaism. He says, I don't keep anything, but I know what I don't keep, he said. This isn't it. So, Apal Piche, he doesn't keep anything, but he says, this is not enough. He said, in other words, Judaism is Judaism. I don't keep it, but this is Judaism. But to say that's Judaism, that is that. So he got in big trouble. Got in big trouble for that. But they wrote. They wrote. I think Jonathan Rosenblum wrote very good. He said, you know, this was not a Haredi talking, you know, against Latin. This is somebody who's not even religious, who understands what Torah is and what Yiddishkeit. What Yiddishkeit.
Yeah,
what
he is. Yes, the Jews have come to establish a state, but at the present moment, if they say that the ostrich is prepared to run, there would not be a state, there would not be an ostrich.
That is correct. And that's why I'm saying that Brisk, as far as I know, Brisk is not calling for the dismantling of the state of Israel, because they understand achar hamaisa pikuach nefesh cuts in the opposite direction. Unlike maybe the lunatic fringe of the Turei Karta that says, get rid of the state right now. I mean, I don't think the Satmar Rav would have been Muslim. Let me tell you a quickie maisa with the Satmar. Satmar Rav was, of course, the leader, the spiritual leader of the Turei Karta. Although Turei Karta is actually a Lipisha movement, but whatever. Whether it's Satmar, he was the head of all of the anti-Zionist. He was the ideologue. He wrote the Svarim. He went through the Makairis. Not like these kids are just, you know, way, whatever. I mean, no, he went through the Sugya. So the story goes, in 1968, Hubert Humphrey was running against Richard Nixon. Nixon won. Humphrey was the vice president under Lyndon Johnson, and Humphrey was an old-time Zionist, a guy, but you know, he supported Israel, you know, from 1948 onwards, before 1948. He was like one of the biggest Zionist supporters in Congress. Weapons for the Six-Day War he got through, you know. So he figured he was running for president. He knows there are a lot of Jews in New York. He heard there's a lot of Jews in Williamsburg. So he asked his people to arrange a campaign speech in Williamsburg with the Satmar community. So the Satmar brings out like 10,000 people there. And the Rebbe is there. There's an interpreter. And Humphrey gives a speech about how he's the biggest Zionist supporter and the state of Israel, greatest thing. And there's nobody in Congress that supports Israel. So one of his advisors was not involved, you know, but he understands Satmar, and he's like turning red. You know, we've lost maybe 200,000 votes in New York, which could change the whole election. And so he goes over to the Rebbe afterwards, and he's Mavakish Mechila. He says, you know, Rebbe, you know, it's a Goy Shekup. He doesn't understand the differences in the Jewish community. You know, please, be Meichel. He didn't mean it. He thought he was saying something that was good. So the Rebbe said, no. He says, you know, I have a lot of disagreements with the Medina, but this is a family fight. I fight with the family. But when somebody wants to hurt my family, he says, I'm going to stand up. He says, I don't want, this is what he said, I don't want a single Jewish person to be hurt by an enemy that wants to destroy them. So yeah, I believe there shouldn't be a state of Israel. I believe it should be dismantled. But if Lamaisa Jews are under attack, I want them to have the weapons to repel the enemy until they come to their senses and get rid of this state of Israel that shouldn't exist. So the Satmar Rebbe said, I am absolutely supportive of giving the Jewish Zionist evil state all the weapons they need so that enemies will not destroy them. Mamish, this is a great, great story, because the pshat is, yeah, I'm against the Medina. Do I want Yidden to be hurt? Of course not. And they tell stories that the Rebbe fasted, like for the whole 6 days, basically. He fasted for the whole 6 Day War, that there should not be a single Jewish person, religious, not religious, who should die in the war.
Was from that campaign.
The Makor of what?
The story that the
Satmar
said.
Oh, I have to go back and check. You know, you're right. I mean, I can't tell you. I know for sure this happened, but I read the story somewhere. I think it was from a fellow, Rev Hertz Frankel, who was a prince. He was the English principal in Satmar for 40 years, so he was very close to the Rebbe. He was a shamash also. I think he tells the story. And you know, this is a big, big mushroom, because very often Rabbi Nisenu Harabim, sometimes the great kanois against Zionism also turns into a sinna against particular Yidden. And you see from the Rebbe that it's not Harba Hatalia. You can have tremendous Abba even for a non-religious person. But you're against the state. So now let me just mention Bekitzer, that on the spectrum of Zionism, you have to divide things in a lot of ways. Let's first divide between secular Zionism and religious Zionism. Now, secular Zionism was essentially created by a lot of people, but the greatest inventor is Theodor Herzl. But secular Zionism has two prongs. There is political Zionism, and there is cultural Zionism. Herzl invented political Zionism. Now, political Zionism was Herzl's so-called solution to the problem of European anti-Semitism. This is way before the Holocaust. This is in the middle 1800s. Herzl saw a European society where Jews were hated, Jews were despised, Jews were discriminated against, they were denied rights, they could not be accepted as citizens of a society. He was a journalist, he was totally assimilated. In fact, I would not call Herzl a Russia by any means. Number one, he cared enough about the Jewish people to try to do something, and number two, he was a total Amoritz. There was no merida. Herzl was not being merid against anything.
Didn't he try to mass conversion the whole cause?
Yeah, but again, everything came from ignorance. He didn't know anything. He thought this would help the Jewish people. He didn't know.
He's not considered bad because he didn't know. Even though he's a Mason, yeah.
No, I didn't say he's not considered bad, but I don't. A person does bad things, but Russia normally requires some notion of. Yeah. So Herzl was a journalist, and Herzl was at an event, Alfred Dreyfus, big trial. Alfred Dreyfus was a colonel in the French army, and he was accused of treason, and everybody saw this was a fake trial, a trumped-up charge. And Herzl realized that Jews are not going to be accepted anywhere. So Herzl's idea was, if only we had our own country, our own nation, our own army, we would be respected, we would be admired, we would be normal. In fact, there's a famous quote that somebody said later, it's not Herzl's quote, it may have been Ben-Gurion's quote, that we will have made it when we have our own Jewish bank robbers and petty thieves. If mamish was the hashkafa, kechol hagoyim. Herzl figured if we could just be kechol hagoyim, then they wouldn't hate us, we would be accepted, we would be safe. So that, I call it political Zionism, because that was the idea of Kichol HaGoyim. Because of this, he did not have a special attachment to Eretz Yisrael. He was willing to consider Uganda. And he was not anti-religious in the sense that, yeah, sure, let Jews have freedom of religion. But what was his famous language? We will confine the rabbis to the synagogues, just as we will confine the army to its barracks. Meaning religion will be a thing, but it's not supposed to be a big issue. So Herzl's shita was normalization, nihiye kechol hagoyim. And it was the Herzl philosophy that was really kind of the motivator of the first generation of Zionists, whether it's Ben-Gurion, whether it's the like. Now, there was another stream of secular Zionism. Secular Zionism, non-religious Zionism, which said, hey, if the whole tachlis is to have a state that's like Monaco or, you know, Gornish. Like, what's the purpose? We suffered 2,000 years just to have a little enclave. So people like Achad Ha'am, that was the nickname he gave himself, but his name was Usher Ginsberg, believed that a Jewish state cannot just be a state that has Jews in it, but it has to enshrine what you might call the values of Judaism. Now, Achad Ha'am was not going so wide as to be from. Certainly they were not from. This was a branch of Haskalah. But he said, you know, Jewish values, ethics, the ethical standards have to be higher. Shabbat or Shabbos should be celebrated in one way or the other. In other words, a Jewish state should have the tzura of some aspects of Judaism. Hagam, that they were very, very far from any notion of real Shmiras mitzvahs, but a smattering of Judaism and Jewish values. And this, I have to say, Ben-Gurion was also yainik from, because Ben-Gurion was not a total secularist like Herzl was, because Ben-Gurion, after all, had a chinuch. You know, Ben-Gurion, yeah, Ben-Gurion knew the Bible very well, knew Tanakh very well. He had a little bit in his youth of Mishnah and Gemara, and he didn't want a total. You know, and in fact, that's why he wanted to meet with the Chazon Ish. You know, because he had a certain respect. He disagreed. He was very, very stubborn. Right? So we'll call that cultural secular Zionism, which wants some smattering of Torah and Jewish values within the state. Now, religious Zionism also has two mahalchim. There is what is called Messianic Zionism, which actually sees the Medina not only as a mitzvah like the Ramban, but as, and perhaps this could be grounded in the Kol HaTorah of the Gra, but as something that brings Geula. Right? You know in the prayer L'Shalom HaMedina that people recite, maybe in your Chutzlar it shows you recite it too, and we have the controversial phrase, Reishis Semichas Geula Seinu. It's the beginning of the flowering. Huh? I didn't hear you. No, not the Shalom. The prayer was Shalom HaMedina. No, not the Tefillah. No. The prayer that was written under the psalm of Rav Herzog, and the author was a famous, very famous religious Jewish novelist, Shai Agnon, who was a very, in fact, he won the Nobel Prize. The first Hebrew writer to win the Nobel Prize in literature. And he added a phrase to the tefillah called Reishit Smichat Geulateinu, which seems to correspond to Aschalta de Geula. And that is a very controversial phrase in which the Hakama of the Medina is not just a good thing, it's not even just a mitzvah, but it's part of a redemptive process of Mashiach. The father of the messianic notion of statehood was, of course, the great Rav Kook, who died before there was a Medina. But Rav Kook, who was an absolute gadol b'Torah, and one should never, never forget that. Rav Kook was considered to be Rav Yashiv, and Rav Shlomo Zalman regarded him as their Rebbe. Rav Kook was a very dear and close Talmud to the Nitziv in Volozhin. There was not so close to Rav Chaim, because Rav Chaim hated Zionism for many, many reasons. But the Nitziv was Machshav the Inyan. And Rav Kook was the only Talmud in Volozhin who was allowed to wear tefillin the whole day. He wanted to wear tefillin the whole day. And he sent me that he learned 70 Vada Gemara a day. Rav Kook was an absolute master of Nigla and Nister. There is no question. But Rav Kook had very, very controversial ideas. And one of his very controversial ideas was he saw, even in the secular Zionism, a way that Geula will come into the world. And people would ask him, how can Geula come through people that are Kaifrim, people that are Mechalel Shabbos, people that want to be mirate against Hashem? Can they be the shluchim through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Geula? And Rav Kook developed the idea that even if people consciously are working for Eretz Yisrael because of communism, because of Zionism, because of socialism, because they want to liberate Am Yisrael from the Torah, that's what they think they're doing. But in their panemius, it is coming because their neshama wants a dveikus in Hashem. And Rav Kook had the shita that some people come to Eretz Yisrael because of their ketcher to the Ribono Shel Olam, and some come to the Ribono Shel Olam through their ketcher to Eretz Yisrael, and it is the neshama that is pulling them there, even though they explain it in different ways. And he had a whole mystical cheshbon based on the Zayir Taka, that sometimes great Kedusha comes into the world under the guise of something that looks bad. Just as we have an expression in English, a wolf is in sheep's clothing, sometimes there is a sheep that is in wolf's clothing. That sometimes Kedusha enters the world. And he brings a raya from David HaMelech, where the Shalshelis of Malchus based David had to come through Zima, the Amon and Mayav and the Mamzeris, etc. Because the Kayach of Kedusha is so great that the Sitra Achra tries to destroy it. So you fool the Sitra Achra by looking at something that's Tameh. Meaning, if it would have been Sadiqim that would have been involved in the Zionism, the Sitra Achra would have been Mashkus. Again, very, very controversial, in which the evil is seen as the seed of good. And because of this, when Rav Kook was made first the Rav of Yerushalayim, he was first Rav of Yafo, a small town, Tel Aviv, there was no Tel Aviv then, then the Rav of Yerushalayim, and then the Rav HaRashi, great Gedolim, the Gevreis of Chaim Zonnenfeld, broke away, and that's how the Eda Charedis was founded before the Medina, as a breakaway from working with secular Zionists. That was the idea. It didn't start necessarily because anti-Medina, there was no Medina yet. The Eda Charedis is earlier than the Medina. But the one thing that you need to know is Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld was a Yedid Gomer, a very, very dear friend of Rav Kook. They were chaverim. In fact, in the early 1900s, they went on a whole trip to the moshavot, all of the little settlements.
Chubas.
It's called the Tshuva Tour. And they worked together, and they brought people to Torah. And Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, in terms of individuals, was exactly like Rav Cook. He would be makariv every individual, no matter how unreligious. He just held, you can't legitimate movements that are antagonistic to Torah. It's like Rav Hirsch with Ostrich. You can't work with people who want to be like your Torah. And that's why it's an interesting little technicality. He always called Rav Cook the Rav of Yaffa. He didn't call him the Rav of Yerushalayim. But he says, for a place like Yaffa, small, isolated village, Rav Cook's approach of tolerance and Ava was perfect. It's exactly how a Rav of Yaffa has to be. But Yerushalayim, you were dealing with national issues. He felt you have to separate. Just like Rav Hirsch with the Reform, the Ostrich Hashkafa. But on a personal level, they were machshav. They were machshav them tremendously. I saw a little thing on YouTube, very amazing, from the 1920s. A little video. You know, Winston Churchill was the colonial secretary under the British mandate, and he would visit Eretz Israel. So they show Rav Cook and Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld at a reception, and they're walking by. And Lady Churchill sticks out her hand, you know, right in front of Rav Cook, and you see Rav Cook like mamish kapush. He didn't take it, but and Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, and you literally saw him grinning. He just walked around Rav Cook, so he missed the didn't have to go by Lady Churchill, but he was mamish like laughing. But Rav Cook was mamish, but Rav Cook did not take the hand. But be it as it may,
he's holding his hat in his hand, no?
Yeah, he was. But he was very, Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld had this happen. He also walked around with Cook. So, but be it as it may, it's important to know, because we live in a time where a gadol v'kadosh like Rav Cook is sometimes spoken about bezilzel, and that is mamish mevazeh talmid chacham, and the Gemara says to be mevazeh talmid chacham is an apikoris, is ein lo chelek. One has to be very, very, very careful. Rav Cook had shitas, and whether Rav Cook is right or not right is not for any of us to be machriya. But it was miyusad on Kabbalah and miyusad on his Avas Yisrael that any yid that wants to be mechaber himself to Eretz Yisrael is doing so mikayach kedusha. Even if he, in his own conscious mind, he doesn't recognize that. And therefore, Rav Cook felt that there's always a potential. There's a famous story, Eliezer ben Yehuda, who was a pretty secular Jew, not just secular, he was a pretty anti-religious Jew, but, you know, he brought back Hebrew as a spoken language, whether you call it Lashon HaKodesh or Ivrit, that's another machlokas, but whatever, but he made Hebrew the spoken language in Israel. So he got a lot. He made up a lot of new words. Camera, you know, maslama. Right? You know, he made it up from Sally. You know, he made up all these words. So he used a lot of words from Midrashim and Gemaras. He didn't care what the Gemara said. He just wanted to know what the word meant. So he used to go to Rav Cook a lot and say, "What does this word mean? That word? That word?" Because most Rabbanim wouldn't even talk to him. They wouldn't even talk to him. But Rav Cook always spoke to him. So he used to come Erev Shabbos for half an hour and ask Rav Cook about a whole bunch of words. So one Erev Shabbos, he comes to Rav Cook, and Rav Cook says to him at the end, "Nu Eliezer, achshav afshar lasot tshuva. Maybe it's time to do tshuva." So Eliezer said, "Maybe the Rav is right." That Friday night, he died at home. And the Levaya was Motzei Shabbos. Again, no Rabbanim came except Rav Cook. And Rav Cook was maspidim, and he said, Rav Cook said that he is batuach that Eliezer ben Yehuda died mitaych tshuva, because Erev Shabbos, the day before he died, he said, "Efshir, the Rebbe is right." He says, "I'm machzik him as a bal tshuva." And the Rambam says, if a person is shav, you know, yayim echad l'pnei maisai, or shah as l'maisai, he is mekubal in shamayim as a bal tshuva. So, it's not for us to say, was Rav Cook Pollyannish? Well, you know, there's a very famous, he spoke at the dedication of Hebrew University. And he thought that maybe with Chochmah and Torah we could build a society. And he made a tanai that they don't teach Bible criticism, which of course they broke. And Rav Cook was very, very upset. And he felt maybe Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld was right, he said, you know. But Rav Kook said at this dedication, Ki Mitzion Teitzei Soira. So people interpreted him as saying, oh, he's calling Hebrew University Ki Mitzion Teitzei Soira. But if you look at the speech, in Mamish, you see the Lashon Hara. He was saying, Afal Pichen, he was saying that even though this is a place of Chachma, but from the yeshivas will come to Mamish Baker. He was actually talking about the importance of the yeshivas. They take it out of context. But was he Pollyannish? Did he believe everybody would become, you know, who knows? But it can't be denied that yesh v'yesh, there have been descendants of people who were radically secular, who have become B'nai Torah. You have the other way too, you know. So it's not for us to judge. But this is what I call, I mean the terms are my terms, this is what I call Messianic Zionism. The religious prong of Messianic Zionism that sees this as a way of bringing Klal Yisrael back to Eretz Yisrael, and from their Kesher to Eretz Yisrael, they will come back to the Ribono Shel Olam, and that'll bring the Geula, and therefore Fakir, in contradistinction to the notion that you can't work with Rishayim, he felt you have to work with them, you have to be Mechaber, because that will bring them to Kedusha and to Tshuva if there's Avas Yisrael there. This was his Shita. Now, there's another aspect of religious Zionism, which we might call pragmatic Zionism, which means to say, the Medina is not Aschalta de Geula, but maybe it's a mitzvah like the Ramban, or maybe it's a good thing like the Gra, and therefore it's good to build up places for Jews to live, Jews to flourish, Jews to be safe. So they don't look at it as a messianic thing, but they look at it as a pragmatic chesed and toiva for Am Yisrael, a matana that the Ribono Shel Olam has given us, but not a matana in terms of a geula process, but as a way station until we're zeicha to a geula. So we can call that pragmatic Zionism. In fact, many B'nai Torah, even Haredim, if they're moderate Haredim, might qualify as pragmatic Zionists, meaning to say, I want this country to flourish, I want people to be safe, right, people run for the city council, right? What do they want? They say, I want to deal with the garbage problem. They're not speaking about it in terms of the Medina bringing something that brings Mashiach, but they say, Yidden live here, it's proper that we try to make this a good place for people to live. So that's also a form of religious Zionism, but it's what we call a pragmatic religious Zionism. It's not a racist Semichat Gulotenu. Now, all of this has a lot of implications. It's not just in theory. You know, you could give yourself a bechina. Which stream of Zionism would say Hallel and Yom HaTzmaut, right? Okay, you go through the different Shaklavatarias. But it also has nafkaminas about willingness to give back land. You know, Rav Shach said Al Pidin, if giving back land could save Jewish lives, which the Maisa we see it hasn't, but in theory, it's mutter to give back land. Now, if you view your shaychus to the Medina positively, but on a pragmatic basis, then yeah, I'll give back land if that would help. Well, the Maisa, it doesn't help. But
Ravadia held that way also.
Yeah, Ravadia, Rav Shach held that way, right? If, on the other hand, you believe it's part of the messianic process, how can you go backwards? Yeah, this is Geula, you know. You're not going to take a step away from Geula.
To save your own life.
Huh? Say again?
To save lives. How
do
you do that?
Yeah, well, that would be the cheshbon, but the cheshbon is, of some, is that if it's Geula, then it becomes the Eberster's Achrayis. If Hashem has given us a Hiskalus of towards Mashiach, then you have to assume the Eberster is going to take care of it.
Right.
And let me just call to your attention the Orachayim HaKadosh. The Orachayim in Parshas Balak, we have just a few weeks ago, has a very, very important makor. The pasuk says, Darach Kaichav Miyakev, the Kam Shevet Miyisrael. This is one of Bilam's Nevuas. So what is the lesson of Kaichav, Yaakov, and Shevet? So he says, both parts of the psukim are talking about Mashiach. Yaakov is the Hamainam. If Mashiach comes, because even the Hamainam are deserving, then it'll come like a supernatural Kaichav, with Nisim and Niflois. But if Mashiach comes only in the Zechus of Yisrael, the Tzadikim, and the Hamainam were not worthy, then it'll come like a poor man hobbling on a cane. There's another Gemara, Hani Brecha Vel Chamor, but hobbling on a cane, meaning political processes, wars, one step forward, one step back, etc. And therefore, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, there is a talich of geula that comes gradually, it comes painfully, in which at the end of it, there'll be a Mashiach, of course, but there'll be all sorts of middle steps. And therefore, the tanya that people have, how could this be part of the geula if there's wars, if there's kaifrim, etc. Some people are miyased on the Aruch Chaim, that when we're not roy, that's how the geula comes. But pragmatic Zionism doesn't look at it in messianic terms at all. It simply says, Baruch Hashem, the Eibishter gave us a place to go, a place we can learn, a place we can daven, a place we can do mitzvahs. We have an achrayas to try to make it a good place for people to live. So memela, I'm a Zionist in the sense that I want the environment to be good, I want there to be a good army.
But they also want to live in a place which is
But the Emma says, I understand that.
Not the hilltops, not the...
You're right. That would be an Afkamino. That's right. A messianic Zionist says, we got to live in every single inch, no matter how dangerous. A pragmatic says, listen, this is not the Geula yet, and therefore a person lives where it's sensible to live. I'm not going to bedafka live where it's extra dangerous. Now, good. The American that says, I can't move to Yerushalayim because it's dangerous, that's tamakaba, because, Lamaisa, New York is a lot more dangerous than Yerushalayim. But if somebody says, I don't want to live in the middle of Hebron, that's a legitimate shikol. So the basic idea is, so we have really four forms of Zionism, and I think three forms of anti-Zionism. Meaning to say, we have political Zionism, which is simply Ma Yomru Hagoyim. We have cultural Zionism, which does want some type of Jewish surah. Then on the religious side, we have messianic, redemptive Zionism. And then we have pragmatic Zionism, which already can get you into some Haredi, might be connected to that as well. On the side of anti-Medina, you really have three different cheshbonos. You have Neturei Karta, that says Shalosh Shavuos, it is Osir Gomor till Yemos HaMashiach. You have the Brisker Rav, who said intrinsically it's not Osir, but he held the establishment was Machnis Amishal B'Sakana. And then you have the issue of the Chiloni, working with the Chilonim, in which you just can't. Meaning, even if a Medina is a good idea, but the way it's presently constituted, one should limit their hischabras.
Couldn't you have Chilonim who are also pragmatic?
Oh, yeah. No, that's right. That's right. Well, in fact, political Zionism is pragmatic as well, but its pragmatic goals are different. Political Zionism is totally pragmatic, but it's pragmatic without any spiritual goal.
A lot of politicians are...
Yeah. So this issue, can I work with the Chiloni to improve garbage removal? Once again, I told you, Rav Hirsch kind of had the shita of Ostrit and the like, and maybe that was Rav Chaim shita as well. But many say, as long as it's not a steerer to religion, why not? Work with people on issues of common concern. Yeah.
Are there any Amish, like the one with the Torah, Shas Pesach, the Scots Rav Kook
camp? They're going to be difficult definitions, but I think, because who's a gadol? Because there are people in that Tivoli world who are considered gadol, that not everybody...
Rav Dov Liorot doesn't know Shas and Pesach?
Huh?
Rav Dov Liorot doesn't know Shas and
Pesach. He probably does. I don't know him, but he probably does. Yeah, Dov Liorot might be one person. But the truth of the matter is, I have to tell you that even among the Dati Leumi movements, there are relatively few messianic Zionists today. Maybe they think all of the Muhammads are kind of a simon from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're not yet a Zoicha. So almost everybody is in the pragmatic camp. In fact, the emphasis, I think Chabad is an example. Okay, Chabad originally was the Turi Karta, but they're not. One thing the Lubavitcher Rebbe said made a lot of sense. The Lubavitcher Rebbe was a tremendous misnagate against giving back any land. But he said over and over again, it's not because it's usher to give back land. He says, for sure, it's mutter to give back land for makom pikuach nefesh, which is what Rav Shach said, what Rav Avadja said, for sure. He just said that giving back land is not going to be matzil anybody. It's going to endanger people. And that's a pragmatic decision, meaning you're not saying I can't give back land because this is part of the Iskalos of Mashiach and I can't go backwards. This is simply saying, yeah, I do what I can for Pikuach Nefesh, but this decision is not going to save anybody. And I have to say, you know, Kachavim is 100% correct. Any territorial concession the state of Israel does has never saved any lives.
What about Sinai?
Huh?
Sinai?
I don't think anybody's been saved with Sinai.
It prevented the war for the last 30 years.
Well, I think it's a bit of a question.
Yes, it was elevation. It was a Zionist descent, whatever the army is.
No, I understand. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said, Rav Shach. In other words, what do our Paiskim say? Our Paiskim basically say that if Shach wasn't giving an opinion that it's going to save lives, it's all in Tim Suleiman. He said, Lou Yitzhar, if the government, if the military, if the leaders say, and their judgment is it's going to save lives, halacha permits the decision to be made. Because pragmatically, you can give back the Harabayas, which, I mean, we practically did that anyway. But give back the Harabayas if it's going to save lives. Because Pikuach Nefesh Yisdaicha, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, like the Ramban, is not one of the Gimel Chamuras in that sense. Well, maybe like the Ramban, it is because of a Medina. But if you don't hold Hakamas Medina Zechiyav, then simply having Jews live in every part of Eretz Yisrael is certainly not one of the Gimel Chamuras.
This really gets back to something that Rebbe mentioned in the first year.
Yeah.
Which was about Machleisim.
Yeah.
And that Batsim we have much more in common than actual Machleisim between groups.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, something like this Nakuda, where you have Messianic or whatever you want to call them, but Zionists, who send out Chassan and Mechupasim because they hold that it's a Mechemes Mitzvah.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about Neshamas, talking about Mamash, people who we would hold that what they're doing is Pashtus.
First of all, the issue of whether the wars Israel fights are Mechemes Mitzvah are lav dafka tali on Messianic Zionism, meaning to say like this. Remember, the Rambam says...
They don't
treat it
that way.
No, I understand. But remember, the Rambam says there are three types of Milchamas Mitzvah. One is a Milchama against the seven Umas, which is not Nogaya. One is Milchama against Amalek. The Ramban would add a Milchamas Kibush Eretz Yisrael, but the Rambam doesn't say that, which he does say. But the Rambam does say, Lo Shia Yisrael Miyad Sor, that if Jews are attacked, that is called a Milchamas Mitzvah. So Mimela, maybe a Messianic Zionist would say it's a Milchemes Mitzvah because we're defending the land, but we can also say it's a Milchemes Mitzvah because we're defending Jewish people from being killed. See, that Gufa will make it a Milchemes Mitzvah. Now, whether B'nai Torah are Pater from Milchemes Mitzvah is an interesting Shaila. I can get into that. On one hand, the Gemara says, Afilu Chasen Mechadrei V'Kala Mechupasa, which implies there are no exemptions. On the other hand, the Rambam at the end of Hilchah Shemitah V'Yayvel says that Shevet Levi, because it's Miyuchad L'Taira, is Pater Mikal Milchama Shebi Eilam Bein Milchemes Mitzvah Bein Milchemes Rishus. Now, it's a real...
And then he goes on to say,
Lo Shevet Levi Bilva. Now, the emphasis is there is no mucker for the Rambam statement in the Gemara. There is no mucker.
They went out. The Pesuk says Shevet Levi also went out last expression.
They did go out, yeah. It doesn't mean but they're putter. They're generally putter. But there is a Sifri that says that. But there is a machlokas if the Lo Shevet Levi Bilvad is going on the Milchama reference. Some say it's only going on the general idea of devoting your life, not on the... But, so there is a Diyan. There is a Diyan where some say if it's a Milchama Mitzvah, everybody got to go. And some say no. The Rambam Patras length, full-time Lem Dei Taira from Milchama Mitzvah.
Telling that every Yochid could be Machriya?
So who's Machriya? So that's the question.
Because there's no question that the Memshala, the Moshul, Is it mashiv any of the Mechamas?
You're right. The Memshala, in fact,
they themselves are knowing.
This is really the issue. The issue, really, the fundamental issue is not should there be B'nai Torah in the army. The fundamental issue is should the government make the decision. Meaning to say, and this is why it's very, very unfortunate. It's an awesome chilul Hashem when you have a frum chayal who went to Nachal Haredi on his own, and he goes into a base medrash and people spit at him and people are mavazim. That is a chilul Hashem noira v'yoyim. If a person makes a decision that this is how he can help Klal Yisrael, it's a decision. It's a decision. It's a respectable decision. It's a worthy decision. He's not a person who should be abused. He should be a person who should we should be makir tov, like, you know, freaking makir tov. But when you have the government just deciding indiscriminately, that's a different inyan. So you have to be mechalek very much. It's not a yisnagdus against serving in the army. It's a yisnagdus against a compulsory draft. And the truth is, the United States has not had a compulsory draft since when? Since World War II. I mean, Vietnam, there was no compulsory. They stopped it. And even when they had a compulsory draft, rabbinical students were exempt. That's why the yeshivas were so full during Vietnam. That's right. He got drafted. That was World War II. He got drafted. Oh, you're talking about a different language?
He refused to use prayers.
Yeah, that was World War II. That was World War II. And the truth is, many say Israel doesn't need a draft either. Israel does not need a draft, and most societies have moved away from compulsory drafts. Right, but that's a general problem. But the issue, but the other thing too is, even if we learn, not like the Rambam, even if you learn that a frum person could be compulsorily drafted for Mohammed's mitzvah, but you know, we don't have 100, I mean, we don't live in a society where 100% of people are being drafted. I mean, when we say chasam mechedra v'kala mechupasa, that means if they're needed. If they're needed, we take everybody. But if they're not needed, you know, you don't take everybody. And right now, participation in the army in general Israeli society is only around 50%. People get exempt for all sorts of reasons. This reason, that reason, that reason, that reason. People in graduate school get exempt. People in college get exempt. So to bedavka say, oh, but Torah, we're not going to... That's a different thing. It's not nogeya. If there was really an emergency... I mean, Yochanan Kineski was... I don't know if he was officially in the army, but Yochanan Kineski was a chayal for a week or so in 1948. If there's an emergency, yeah, you go. If there's an emergency, we go. But Baruch Hashem, I mean, it's not an emergency situation when you have a situation of so many people don't serve in the army and so many people get exempt for reasons that are much less powerful, then, you know, it's less, the government's case is less compelling. What is really going on, again, I don't want to assign sinister motives, because I think everyone's kavanas might be good, but they're vocal, is that the army was seen by Ben-Gurion, all the way back from Ben-Gurion, as a way of cultural homogenization. The concept, and again, I mean, L'shitasim, this was a good thing, but part of the idea was...
A melting pot.
Everybody works together, you sleep together, you eat together. That's why the army goes crazy when Charedim walk out of a concert. You see this? It's like the committing treason. You know, they have these concerts where women are singing. And you have soldiers who are in the army, they're fighting. But they walk out of the concert. So they're going to get court-martialed. Actually, maybe it's good. Yes, that's the way to get out of the army. They make a big, big deal. What's the big deal of pastoring somebody from coalition? Because the whole idea is we have to be the same. We have to be mechaber. We have to... So the draft is not for security reasons. The draft is for homogenization reasons. And that's why it's a bit of a sakana. Okay. I don't want to dodge too much on politics. But anyway, so I hope at least in terms of labels, at least you have a sense of the different shitas and the different gishas in Klal Yisrael. And like everything else, I think I mentioned the other day, I'm talking so many places, I don't know if I told you, the old children's story of the seven blind men and the elephant, in which seven blind people were told to touch an elephant and describe what they feel. So one person touches the ears and says, oh, an elephant is a gigantic butterfly. Another person touches the trunk. An elephant is a gigantic snake. Another person feels around the stomach. Oh, the elephant is like a hippopotamus. Every single thing is right, but every single thing is chaser because it doesn't see the whole nekuda. Maral doesn't use this particular mashal, but the Maral says, in Agadita, that is the meaning when you have midrashim that are chaylek, even in halacha, elu ve'elu devilu kibchayim, that each is being madgish a certain nekuda, and then you look at the whole thing and you see the totality of the emes. So different chachamim were teaching me different pratim that I put together. So in a lot of these things, there are going to be, certainly within the Torah camp, obviously, there are going to be nekudas of emes that one has to be eiches. Now, there is a teruvus in everything of emes v'sheker. What's emes, what's sheker? Again, the gedolim have to be machriya. Different people have different gedolim, so you're going to have chilukei deyos. But one should not be mezalzel, something that comes from a maimon in Torah. And if you go right with Rav Kook, one shouldn't be mezalzel, even things that come from somebody not a maimon in Torah, because you never know what nekuda is behind. And Befrat, as we approach Tisha B'Av, you know, we want to be mesaken sinas chinam. And the Nitziv writes, a very famous Hakdama, of course, the Nitziv was criticized for this himself. The Nitziv tainted that the sinas chinam of the Bayis Sheni was a Fremkeit sinas chinam, in which each person looked at a different daya in Hashkafa and said, you're a kaifer, you're an apikairis. So each person held, they had a shita to look down at the other person. And that still blibes sinas chinam, because even if you reject an idea, you're not mezalzel in the integrity of the person. So take someone like Rav Lior. Rav Lior, you know, was great Talmud Chacham. There may be shitas that, you know, we would not always be maskim with. Rav Kook was a gadol shebigdailim. There may be kama v'kama shitas. But you know, I'll tell you, whenever somebody would say anything negative about Rav Kook in Rav Yashiv's presence, and he would think that, you know, he'd get on Rav Yashiv's good side, whatever it is, not knowing Rav Kook was his Masada Kedushin and his Shadchan, Rav Yashiv kicked him out. He said, don't come back, I don't want you to come back to my house. He says, you have no idea who you're talking about. Get out of here. Was Rav Yashiv maskim to everything Rav Kook said? Probably not. Almost certainly not. But a gadol is a gadol, even if it's not the shita that we have. This is true for Hasidus, Misnagdim, this is true for many, many shitas. So one of the difficulties we have sometimes in a yeshiva like our Sameach, maybe more so, is people come with initially with limited backgrounds, and they want truth, and they want a truth that is unitary and single, and this is the way it is, and there's no other way of looking at it. And sometimes you have to teach people that way, just so that they'll have a foundation to stand on. If you don't have a foundation, if everything is relative, you know, you push it. You're standing on quicksand. A person has to have a basis in life, no question. But once you have a basis, as you get more mature, you begin to see, oh, I can look around and see other basisim that people are standing on, and I could be makir, the inyan of that as well. So, okay? All right. Anyway, we should be zeichas, a binyan beis hamikdash, b'meheira v'yameinu.